T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The notion that they can do, because they've surprised us thus far that they have staying power. But guess what? That does, I don't give a one iota about predictions, because everybody got it wrong just about where they'd be after 60 games. So to me, this is kind of what they call in the streets dibs get back. Oh, we'll just throw rocks at this giant great story thus far, because this doesn't count on how the Giants can just go out there and play fundamentally sound baseball and still reach their goal.
Yeah, it's a long way to go, and I think ultimately for a team with this much age, you're more likely to sustain injuries, so it comes down to the depth. You know, if the Chadwick Tromps and the Wade Juniors can continue to produce when asked, I think you're in a much better spot as far as at least getting into the wild card. They are still underdogs as far as winning the division, and I think it's because of the top-line talent of their rivals, but from a depth standpoint, as long as they keep finding players, and that's what Farhan Zaidi's done so well in his short stint. As long as they keep doing that, they can hang in this race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to your point, you mentioned, Goo, that the Dodgers have been beaten up on the Pirates. The Dodgers are playing really good baseball right now. The Dodgers are coming fast for the Giants. San Diego's got a lot of issues they got to straighten out. They're a good team, but the Dodgers are the team that are on the rise in that division. I look at these Giants and I try to figure out, where did I miss so badly? Where was I so wrong about this team? And I think one of the things, they've played better defense than I thought they would, although that's been a little spotty of late. Didn't see that coming. Thought they would hit. Didn't know the starting pitching would be this big. But to me, the biggest surprise about the Giants is that you don't typically expect guys like Crawford and Posey to get better at this point, right? And we know Posey had, it's kind of like Steph Curry syndrome. Great player, took a year off, and wow. But Crawford, all of a sudden, is like he's having one of his best seasons ever. Great for him. He's worked really hard, but it's unusual for a player who appears to be on the backside of his career to all of a sudden, woo, take off as he's had. So to me, that's one of the reasons we've all missed on the Giants. We didn't see foresee that Brandon Crawford is going to have this bounce back year.
And Posey with a renaissance, and also Gausman, Goo. When you think about how many of these players, it's like Yaz last year, where it was like, where'd this guy come from? He was cast off from Baltimore, which if you're cast off from Baltimore, you're likely heading for Goodwill. But instead, he resurrected his career. And now you have a situation this year where Posey, Crawford, Gausman, and Moore are all having those career-type years.
And I'm with both of you. And what's so fascinating, Whitey, is I was telling Dibs and Steiny before the season started, after game 60 ended last season at home to the Rockies where they choked, I was thinking all you had to look forward to was Yaz and the youngsters coming up, because I thought Yaz had staying power. Not saying he doesn't, but who thought Crawford could find the fountain of youth? You talk about Gausman and Buster Posey. So these guys got championship pedigree, but I'm victim of it. And I basically gave no credence to that. And basically, they probably read the handwriting on the wall. Oh, it's about getting rid of our contracts. So I pose this question to you, Whitey, because I already asked Dibs. Is Crawford playing so damn well that you think about his future and making sure that, you know, he's your shortstop for the next two seasons? At what point do you say, this is real? We got our shortstop, to hell with the farm.
Well, it's just too early to make that determination, not to dodge your question. But now you're more open to it. You realize we may have to think about that longer than we thought we would with Luciano coming up. But it's just too early, because to the point that evaluators and Dibs made, you know, you got an older team and you just don't know. Posey and Crawford also benefit. Posey took the year off. Crawford benefiting from a shortened season last year. So can he keep this going? You hope he can. And if he can, then you got to answer those questions. But right now, you're still in wait and see mode. I mentioned the 2012 A's are the most surprising baseball team I ever saw. If this team were to win anything, if this Giants team were to get into the postseason, where would that rank among the most surprising Bay Area teams you've ever seen in any sport? And who is? Who was the most surprising Bay Area team in any sport? 888-957-9570, Goo.
Wow, I love this. And my answer is the 2014-15 Golden State Warriors. Ooh. The year that they met Steve Kerr's inaugural, his first season. You don't do that in the NBA. You don't intercept LeBron James in the factors and figures that are right there to get those chips. You know, there's no cute stories in the association. Dibs like baseball and football. So to me, it was the Warriors going all the way and beating LeBron James to do it with Steve Kerr in his rookie season. To me, I take into account, you know, the league. And that was LeBron's championship. It was his, and they stole it. So if the Giants do this year, guess what I can say to you fellas? Well, Crawford's already won it. He just leaned back on that pedigree. Belt's got rings. Posey's done it. That team had nothing to lean on, and yet they shocked the world to me. So that would be my answer.
Yeah, that's a good one, and there are many, many, many choices that you can pick from depending on how you're looking at it, but I'm thinking about the 49ers and not this recent Super Bowl loss, but going back to 2013, 81. Yeah, back when Alex Smith lost his job and Colin Kaepernick came in and replaced Alex Smith and led them to the Super Bowl, where Whitey and I and our old friend Mark Kreidler were slated to stay in a hotel that was ranked number 9. In the world, Goo, not in 5-star amenities, not in lobby accommodations, but in bed bug incidents in the great city of New Orleans.
Most bed bugs, yeah.
Yeah, top 10. Yeah, not 5, not 6. It was ranked number 9 in the world, not in the country, not in, you know, Louisiana.
Yikes.
But in the world. So needless to say, the three of us marched in the boss's office, and we got a hotel upgrade. The rat on the table is we all got fired 10 weeks later.
But,
that to me was one of the more remarkable. Yeah, boy. Hey, at least we slept great, Whitey, and we didn't have any bed bug welts. But
right.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah.
But to me, it was that team, the Niner team that went to New Orleans in the Super Bowl, inexplicably out of nowhere.
Yeah, 888-957-9570. Most surprising Bay Area sports team in your lifetime. And I apologize, Dibs. Wow. I thought you were going somewhere else when you mentioned 49ers, because today is Joe Montana's birthday, 65 years old today. And
man,
I don't know how many people remember this, but, you know, the 81 49ers, the 49ers, not since John Brody had played, had they done anything. And Bill Walsh came in, and I think, what did they win, 6 games a year before? And they won the freaking Super Bowl. They won the 82 Super Bowl after the 81 season. They beat the Cowboys, which just sent shockwaves through the whole city as people had to realize, the 49ers are not only are they good, they're going to win a Super Bowl. And it changed the way a lot of Bay Area fans thought about themselves in some ways, but also about the 49ers and about Bay Area sports. The 49ers becoming Super Bowl champions. And it was a real surprise. It wasn't a team that, last they won 10 games and 12 games and boom, they won it all. It was a team that seemed to come out of nowhere.
And that's a great call. And the first matchup with the Cowboys actually in 1981 was my first ever 49er game. I went with the Berkeley Farms Junior 49er Minor Club, where they put you in the deep, deep end zone, those seats that were almost obscured viewing, and Niners 45, Cowboys 14, and that was the game that really signaled to everyone, like, this may not be a fluke, when they absolutely punched your Cowboys, Goo, in the mouth.
I remember, and I'll say this, that 81 season to me, if you guys let me know if I'm wrong, but to me it was Bill Walsh's coming out party as the genius that he was, right? I mean, and we could say the start of a dynasty, but I remember the Steve DeBerg Niners. What they were a laughing stock.
The DeBurgle.
Wayne Walker. What was the show he had on Channel 5? He used to be in at the complex. What was it? 49ers today or whatever this
or
week.
Something. I don't know. Something. Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
Shout out to Wayne. But yeah, that was they came out of nowhere. You're right. That 81 Niners. I will never forget that.
Let's see here. Coming up, we're going to give you a chance to win $1,000. So stick around for that. 888-957-9570 on the text line. The 93-94 Sharks upsetting the Red Wings. Getting a mention from Aaron from the 408. Pretty sure no one had the Giants winning it all in 2010. But they had been halfway decent the year before. 2002 Raiders get a mention. We Believe Warriors. So 888-957-9570. Most surprising Bay Area sports team in your lifetime. Also going to look at this sticky substance scandal in baseball. Why we're all missing the point on that. It's all coming up. Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, Whitey in for Steiny today on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Treatmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
If the Giants win anything this year, where would they rank among the most surprising Bay Area sports teams, any sport of all time? 888-957-9570. Speaking of surprise teams, the Phoenix Suns have surprised a lot of people this year. They got a shot to go all the way. Their former GM, Ryan McDonough, is going to join us. He's coming up this hour. He's the guy that drafted Devin Booker. So Ryan McDonough coming up about 11:50 here on 95.7 The Game. But right now, it's time to give you a chance to win some money. A lot of money. Time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word CLIFF, C-L-I-F-F, to 72881. That's CLIFF, C-L-I-F-F, to 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. Goo, $1,000, free and clear. What are you going to do with it? You win it. Here you go. You got to spend it on something. Got to stimulate the economy. What are you getting?
I'm going to buy me a watch. Nice watch. Yeah. You asked me why. It got stolen at the gym, so yeah, I had an expensive watch. So I want to replace it. Yeah. Somebody got old goo.
We
got
to get to the bottom of that. What happened? Who took it? How can we catch him?
Locker was open, and I don't know.
Yeah. I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a lock on it? It was just...
Oh, I had a lock on it. It was broken open. Yeah, it was inside job, Denzel. Oh, inside man. I'm sorry. Clean up on aisle goo.
Yeah, it's all right. Shake that off.
Clean up on aisle goo.
Yeah.
How about you, Dibs? $1,000. You go $1,000. You gotta spend it on something to stimulate the economy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What are you getting?
I'll probably buy 3 wood, which is what I said the other day. Ooh. But you know, if I was to honestly get $1,000 right now dropped in my lap, I would probably in-game bet it on Novak Djokovic, who dropped the first set, but is showing signs of life in the semis. I'd probably slap it down on the Joker, Whitey. The D is silent. As he tries to vanquish Rafael Nadal. And we're talking about huge upsets. If you can beat Nadal at the French Open, that is akin to the kind of upsets we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. What is Nadal now? Is he in his 50s? I mean, he's a great player. He's been around a while, though, hasn't he?
In his 30s. All these guys are. I believe he's 102 coming into this year's tournament at the French. So,
okay.
Gives you some idea of the gravity of the upset.
That's crazy.
It's way crazy, huh?
Guru, Dibs, let's say the Giants win anything this year. They win a wild card. And maybe they win more than that. But if they even get into the postseason, to me, I there's no question they would be one of the most surprising sports teams I've ever seen. Can we agree that they would at least, if they win anything, they're at least top five all time?
I'm buying that ticket. I'm with you, Waddy. Yeah. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Over 162, not 60. So keep that in mind. And Farhan, right now, if it was NASDAQ, his stock is up, Dibs.
Yeah, absolutely it's up. And Gabe Kapler's stock is up, where when he got hired, his stock was probably lower than any Giants manager since, Whitey, Joe Altobelli, as I pick a name out of the ether? I mean, has there ever been a Giants manager hired with less with less of a chance to succeed.
Jimmy Davenport, the great Jim Davenport, didn't have a great chance when he was named, but you're right. And then, you know, we know that Gabe Kapler struggled in Philadelphia, came to the Giants with a reputation as a guy who really maybe is still learning how to manage, but that's okay, right? And it was that they had that terrible press conference here, and that was only part of it. Yeah, and then last year, seventh game of the year, after Bailey goes out to visit Rodgers, he comes back to the dugout, and Gabe Kapler goes out to get him and says, yeah, I'm going to take you out of the game. And the umpires have to say, you can't do that. Remember, that was last year. It's like, oh, my goodness, this guy's incompetent. I mean, he can't manage at the major league level. He doesn't understand how to do it.
And that situation off the field, Whitey, you're keeping it real. When when we found out, and I remember the Ann Killians of the world, and even us, we were going in about the stuff that he had going when he was, you know, overseeing that, you know, that whole situation. I got to tell you, I logged off on our show thinking if I hear he's been removed or he doesn't get to start the job, I kind of would understand it. So it's come full circle from that juncture, that gap that you talk about, that was a gaffe, Dibs. You don't know the rules and, you know, the mismanagement of the bullpens in Philly. We had the Cataldis, Eskins on, and they were just laughing. He's a good guy, but as a manager, he won't last. And Kumo D, Dibs, how you like Kapler now?
Yeah, I like him a lot, actually. The Giants fans do. And ultimately, bullpen management is subject to how the relievers do. You can... I mean, you can botch your bullpen management, but if they go out there and put up zeros, you're a genius. Or you could nail it with the matchups and what the clipboard tells you, but if your relievers go up there and get lit up, then you look like a fool. So it's almost a lose-lose or a win-win, depending on how the players actually perform. The fascinating part for me is the Zaidi-Kapler marriage, for lack of a better way to describe it, because Farhan throws him a new player virtually every day. This guy's up, this guy's hurt, this guy's down, this guy's picked up. Rule 5, acquired him in a trade. Here's Talkman, here's Wade Jr., all these pieces, and Gabe Kapler and his staff have done a good job of putting him in the right spot.
By the way, the Giants didn't make a trade today. They traded Whistler to the Rays for Michael Plassmeyer, 24-year-old lefty.
They got Plassmeyer?
Michael Plassmeyer,
joining
the Giants. Managers don't do what they used to do. Managers aren't responsible for the things that they were responsible for, even just as recent as Boch's day. A lot of the decisions a manager makes, they're handed down to him by the front office. That's just the nature of baseball today. That said, I think one of the keys to Kapler's success, the fact that he somehow, some way got Belt, Posey, and Crawford to accept him, right? I think that went a long ways towards establishing in the minds of the team and also fans, all right, this guy's a real major league manager. At the very least, he has stayed out of the way of them winning. If they did, of course, you guys have probably talked about this. Everybody knows this who's following it. If you had manager of the year voting right now, he would win in a landslide. And that in some ways is every bit, if not more surprising than the fact that the team is winning as many games as they're winning.
No doubt. And he gets my vote. And I'll say this, Whitey, I hate that you just said that about what today's manager does and doesn't do. And I just want to push back a little and say, I hope it's not like that everywhere. Because at the end of the day, when he came, the way he came, and let's say it was a circus, he came with the circus. Guys like Posey could have been whispering to Belt, who the hell is this guy? And I'm not saying they would have not performed, but it could have jumped off like that, and it didn't. So to me, they respect Kapler, and the best way to show respect, Dibs, is by going out there and being the best version of yourself you can. And for whatever reason, to me, if it's the chalkboard, the one-on-one, he's getting a message across to not only the veterans, but these young players that you can do it.
Yeah, it's communication is what it is. And, you know, you go to the veterans and you let them know how you're going to use them. You go to Buster early on and say, you know, Buster, we're going to just have you catch. No more of this. You know, first base, your quote-unquote off day is going to be you playing first base. There's no need for that. They've got Belt back. You got Wade Jr. You got Ruff when he's healthy. He can play first base. So, Buster, you're just going to catch. We're going to look at 110, maybe 120 games, depending, in the squat, and nothing more. And you talk to Crawford about how you're going to use him and Belt and Cueto, and you get all the veterans on board with the vision, and then the rest of the pieces, you try and pick and pop and put them where they can be successful. And, you know, lo and behold, you've got guys bought in, and you've got a ton of players who are delivering in the spots where you need them, and then you wake up in June, and you're very much in the hunt. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's doing a solid job. I do think Farhan makes Kapler look like a genius, because Farhan has the ability, which he's shown back when he was with the Dodgers, back when he was with the A's, although he was less responsible for it. He can find, give me all the players that nobody else wants, and he can find guys, all right, that guy can help us. And then they plug him in, and the guy plays well, and of course, the player is the one who deserves most of the credit. But when you have guys like that playing well, guys that people, I don't even know who that is, I think it makes the manager look better than maybe he is. That said, Kapler, no question, yeah, doing a real solid job, but I think Farhan is the real key to the success of Giants.
I agree with you to the extent that, you know, like Whistler for Plassmeyer, for example, who saw that coming? but he, the answer is nobody. Michael Plassmeyer out of Missouri, as you well remember, he's a double-A pitcher. I would imagine we're going to see him by the, yeah, we'll see if he's a competitor, Boach. And within the next month, he'll probably be up in some role. He's a lefty starting pitcher, so maybe he'll spot start or maybe he'll relieve, but it's up to Kapler to then communicate to Plassmeyer when he eventually comes up what his role will be. So you're right. Zaidi makes Kapler look great by all the wonderful pieces he brings in. But ultimately, it's up to Kapler to communicate to the player on how he'll be used.
And you know what, Whitey? Well said, Diz. You know what I wonder? If we were to sit or interview Kapler, you know, with what happened in Philly, he got relieved of his duties. If we asked him, what have you done differently in San Francisco than in Philadelphia? Because I'm just thinking about what Dib said. Like, you know, why is Bochy a Jedi? Because when he went to the mound, you know, one at bat would be, well, the rules were different. You could take a reliever out after two pitches. Right. But my point is, do you think he learned something in Philly that he's applying differently to this Giant team? Or you got me thinking, and I guess it's a good thing at the end of the day, is Farhan making him look better than he is? And I think that's a diss, and you're not doing it on purpose. I got to give Gabe, the captain, the skipper, I got to give him credit for keeping his house in order, if you get where I'm going.
One thing he learned, from his time in Philly is not to bring in a pitcher if the pitcher had not actually warmed up. So it's like, that's an important lesson, right, for a manager?
I got to write that down.
Oh, all right. Well, why don't you warm up and then we'll bring you in. So, yeah. So that's one of the things. But I do think the fact that they played so well this year when they went into Philadelphia early in the year, you know, he was asked about all that. And he didn't have a great – he did a fine job. But the fact that the Giants were able to win there, I think in some ways it helped, fairly or unfairly, with his image and with his confidence. It's like, yeah, I went into Philly, I came, I saw, I conquered, where they said, I could not do this. I brought a team in there, and we kicked their asses a little bit. So I think that goes a long ways towards reestablishing him as somebody who can do this, who knows what they're doing. And yeah, it'd be a stunner at this point if he doesn't win manager of the year, because he appears to have such a big lead. Dibs, if I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago during the summer, you had some bracket set up and you had people voting on the best Bay Area teams of all time in different sports. The reason I bring that up is because a team that we haven't mentioned here, as we look at the most surprising teams in Bay Area history, the 75 Warriors are getting a lot of mention here. I know that goes back a ways. I think that was a team you had in your brackets.
Yeah, we did. It was a championship bracket, which was one of the things we did back in the in the summer when we had no real sports, so we were kind of grasping for straws at a little bit. And, you know, the 75 Warriors won the title. The 73-74 Warriors weren't terrible. They finished up 44-38. They were a playoff team, and so it wasn't totally out of the blue that they would take that next step. But certainly, and you ask Rick Barry this, he's more bitter about not winning the title in 76 than he is happy about winning it in 75.
Yeah, they had traded away Nate Thurmond, and they had Jamal Wilkes, a rookie, and they just took the league by storm. It's Whitey in for Steiny here. Steiny Guru Dibs, 95.7 The Game, talking about the Giants, the surprising Giants. By the way, the latest weather update, Dibs, no baseball today, right? Or are we still not certain?
Oh, don't give me that.
Yeah, I got to check the Dibbly Doppler, but that's why we've been coming out with rain songs all day, and we'd love your favorite rain song, 888-957-9570. Maybe Spadoni can actually you know, chip in and, you know.
I gave him mine.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Dibs, do I say it or wait for him to come back and play it?
You wait for him to come back and play it. And there's so many.
I played the one you wanted to, New Edition. I played that one.
Candy Rain?
I must have been out. I don't know what happened. My bad, Spadoni. Yeah, New Edition.
Wow, it's day drinking.
Stand the rain.
Nice job,
make you think about your relationships, Whitey, you know?
Well, I was thinking Soul for Real with Candy Rain. You ever dream of candy-coated rainbows, Whitey, as you remember from your days as a hip-hop aficionado?
Right. Yeah. I would nominate Blind Melon. I know they've been mentioned. Nope, but that's no rain.
All I can say is my wife.
Yeah, so I actually got to meet that guy shortly before he prematurely left us. He was a very, very nice young man. So
was that
so
Mr. That was, Bill that sings his Blind Melon?
Oh, no, Mr. Sluggo. It's
that was exactly how
rain.
That record sounds to this day.
All I can say is my life is pretty.
That's dead on.
That sounds like the Muppets.
I gave you four cries.
God. Yeah. Jesus.
Evan Giddings, our fill-in producer, gave you four as well.
Yeah.
E.G.
Missy Elliott, I Can't Stand the Rain. Of course.
There you go.
Here it comes again. Here it comes again. Oh, which would be Eurythmics. Right?
Yeah, absolutely Eurythmics. And the Missy Elliott greatest performance ever while wearing a garbage bag. Second place would be me at the Beta Breakers in 1989. You used to have to line up for the Beta Breakers goo at 5 a.m. to get a good spot because I wanted to run the race. Yeah. I didn't want to just drink my way through. So you get there at 5 a.m., but, you know, in the city, it's likely raining, so you had a garbage bag that you would wear until the race started, then you would peel it off.
What was that course? Okay, what was the course of the Beta Breakers, Dibs? Where'd they start?
Howard and Spear, which is right down there by the Embarcadero, and you would run all the way down Howard to about 8th, and then you'd cut over across Market and then go up over the Hay Street Hill and then wind your way down to the Panhandle and take the Panhandle all the way through Golden Gate Park out to the ocean.
Dibs, can we add these songs to the list? Dibs he didn't want me to add Rihanna Umbrella. I think Goo allowed it.
Yeah, we did.
Make It Rain, Tom Waits. Blame It on the Rain, Milli Vanilli.
Yes.
Temptations, Wish It Would Rain. And CCR, Who Will Stop the Rain?
All great choices, and the reason why I had to dispute Umbrella, Ella, A, is because the umbrella
you're
can
mean,
be
spirited.
Used.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you as a person who understands all cultures can understand that many people use the umbrella to shield themselves from the sun. So the umbrella
but it was
is
made,
not
though.
The umbrella
it was made
is not
for the
endemic
wild.
To prevent rainfall. The umbrella is a more versatile utility instrument. Therefore, I had to wave it off.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the umbrella in general, in the abstract.
Yeah.
We're talking about its use in that song. And that's fine. That's fine.
Also, so, bad luck if you open it indoors.
Yeah, thank you.
9570.
Thank
you. Let's see here. Raindrops falling on the head. Yeah,
I love
it. My mom's
I love favorite. The young people. It's so good.
I love the young people.
So, on the text line. Guru, I know you yesterday talked a lot about this sticky substance scandal. I wanted to touch on that here since we've been talking about baseball. Couple of things. For one thing, keep an eye on the Dodgers. Mentioned the Dodgers are playing well now. They're on a bit of a hot streak. People refer to LA as Spin City because the spin rates, which go up when players use these foreign substances, this spider webbing, they're going up a lot in LA. So people are looking at the Dodgers and saying Spin City. So keep an eye on that. It'll be interesting to see if baseball cracks down. Does that mean the Dodgers' spin rates are going to go down? And the other thing is, I think we're missing the point. It's not a scandal. To me, guys putting foreign substances on the baseball, it's like steroids. It's nothing like steroids. It's not a scandal. It's a problem for baseball because baseball is so desperate to make sure they get more offense. And the problem is the spin rates are going up, so offense is going down. And that's what baseball has to do something about. They really don't care if pitchers cheat. They never really have.
Then why I don't agree with that, Whitey. I think they do, and that's why this story is trying to come out. And I'm passionate about it because I'm a diehard baseball fan. I saw the change. I didn't know to degree what was going on and preventing the ball from being in play. But now, guys, I feel like I know. I feel like I know, Dibs, and it bothers me. I'm watching a lie.
Yeah, and this is the way I can best describe the analogy, because pitchers have been cheating forever with substances, mm-hmm. but it's like going mm-hmm. 62 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour speed limit zone. You're speeding, but it's okay. You're only going 62. We're not going to pull you over. Well, now these guys with the spider tack and the
pelican,
the sunblock. That was my bit. Why is name an animal and name a substance, and it totally
worked.
Years
ago.
Yeah, viper spit,
awesome awesome tar,
bear sweat.
Yeah, I had cobra phlegm. Actually, I was using cobra phlegm back in Little League. But the problem with all these substances now, it's like going 90 in a 55.
Yeah,
and that's where a stop must be put.
Here's
does
the
it
point,
bother
though,
you, Dibs? You guys, I'm sorry, Whitey.
You play, yeah, it bothers me like driving on the 580 where I'm going 65 and I'm in the second lane from the right and some guy or lady is going 98 and bobbing and weaving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it bothers me.
But here's the problem. I know you guys yesterday played Pete Alonso, and he came very close to nailing it. And the problem is that baseball, 4 or 5 years ago, they decided, and again, the people that make these decisions on changing the baseballs and make the rules.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't think they like baseball. I don't even think they understand baseball. So they come out with a rule. Oh, well, people don't like baseball as much. We need more offense. All right, let's introduce a baseball that flies over the fence. Ah, this is great. Hey, the ball's flying over the fence. People still don't like baseball. All right, we're going to have to do something different. What are we going to do? So this year they decided we'll get a ball that doesn't travel as far. And then we'll have more balls in play. Won't have as many home runs. We'll still have more offense. So what happened? The pitchers had to start using more spider tack and possum tar because the ball was so slick that flew over the fence. So that's what baseball doesn't want you to know. One of the reasons this has gotten so bad, and cheating is cheating and you shouldn't do it, it's gotten so bad because of the tricks baseball pulled with the baseballs. Pete Alonso said it has to do with the free agent class. It has nothing to do with that. But pitchers, you go back to 2017, a lot of pitchers said, I can't get a good grip on this. So the reason it's gotten so bad is because baseball stupidly changed the baseball. And now they have to go back and, all right, that didn't work. It's unintended consequences because they're so ham-handed when it comes to making decisions that are supposed to fix the game, and they continually make things worse.
Yeah, Whitey, I'm not saying you're wrong, but what I'm not hearing from you is, now Dan Dibley was done. He's got Twinkie arm. He's finished. Oh, but guess what? Somebody told him about the sunblock and the butterfly propellant, and he's using it, and all of a sudden now he's a Cy Young candidate. That doesn't bother you? He's cheating, and he's cheating and is making himself look like he's bringing something to the table when all actuality, he's dependent on a product. So now I feel like I'm being lied to, and I'm not going down Gosman's road, but he's the guy I'm looking at now like, he didn't just find the fountain of youth. He found the fountain of product. And that's across the board now. And that's what bothers me, watching these pitchers throw a two-hitter and Mr. Gerrit Cole, that was worse than Clemens on Capitol Hill. I misremember. How do I answer? I'm cheating. Yeah. That was so bad. But you know what, Dibs? Nobody cares about the sport I love.
Yeah, and it's a shame. They should ban Caterpillar Plasma immediately because it's being used.
It's very sticky, though.
Well, I have never
used steroids. Yeah.
period.
I think you're partly right, Whitey, as it pertains to the ball and pitchers, but I also think they're using it as an excuse. Oh, I can't even grip this thing. I'm trying to throw this at 102 miles an hour. And also the rat on the table in the whole conversation, as I've said throughout second rat, is hitters want the pitchers to use some type of substance. Because if I'm in the box and I know Chapman's throwing 102, I want to make sure he has a decent grip on the ball. Now, decent, not necessarily an extraordinary grip, though.
Yeah. However, and I understand that point, it would seem to be a solid point. So if pitchers now are using, and I think Goo called it butterfly propellant, which is interesting. It's like, well, look at that thing go. That's amazing. So they should have better control, but hit by pitches are at a 100-year high, even though pitchers have a better grip. And I want to clarify, I am not excusing pitchers cheating. That's not my point. It's like, oh, the pitchers had to do this. I'm just saying baseball has helped to make this problem worse. And all they have to do, it should be easy to find a happy medium, work with the players. We're going to find something not as crazy as, you know, the pelican testicles or whatever. Something that's not as sticky as that.
Wow, that's sticky.
Let's make something.
I got to ask you about the sticky substance on the balls.
Yeah, he's been fixated, Whitey. I mean, Steiny's been fixated on the sticky substance on the balls.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, but there's got to be a happy medium, right? Look, guys, let's find something that everybody can live with. And then, see, you won't have to ban shifts. A lot of people say if you just back off the amount of sticky substance pitchers are putting on the baseball, which increases spin rate, you won't have to worry about banning the shift because that will take care of so much of the problem being suppressed offenses. So that's why I'm saying enforce the rules you have. Don't come up with more cockamamie rules, which always backfire on your ass.
I love it. And if I was Commissioner Johnson, first thing real quick, I'd ban the shift.
Oh, well, we'll have to come back to that. But
now, yeah, we will.
Well, the guy who drafted the great Devin, former GM Ryan McDonough, he's going to join us next. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, Whitey in for Steiny today on 95.7 The Game.
Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
Toto, Africa. Dibs, is that a rain song? Are the rains down in Africa? Is that a rain song?
No, it's not. It's a song about Africa. And yes, it does rain down in Africa. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. But it's, you guys are missing the bit. And I'm surprised. I'm not surprised that the likes of a Joe Spadoni and an E. Gidd getting giddy with it may or may not have picked up on the cue. But you, Whitey, the fact that
I didn't
aren't
have
following
to
along.
Do with that. It did come up on the text line and Spadoni played it. That's all. That's all. Meanwhile, it's Whitey in for Steiny today, Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Real quickly, NBA playoffs last night, Bucks win. A rock fight. The Jazz wins tonight. We got Philly at Atlanta and Phoenix at Denver. Nice enough to join us with more on that. Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Yes, former Suns GM, Celtics executive Ryan McDonough. Ryan, thanks so much for your time today. Taking nothing away from the Bucks, who won a game they needed. But if you're the Nets, aren't you still feeling pretty good about that series after last night?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Always great to be on with you guys. And I think so. I think the Nets are the best team in the league. It's amazing what they've done, even when they haven't had one of their big three. Obviously, James Harden has been out to start the playoffs here for Brooklyn, or start the series for Brooklyn, and they've continued to roll along. So I think last night was a bit of an anomaly. They obviously did not execute well down the stretch. That play with Bruce Brown missing the layup really started poorly with the inbounds pass from Blake Griffin not hitting the target, and then a number of things went wrong. So if I'm Brooklyn, I feel good about how that game went. I feel like if I'm Steve Nash or with the Nets, our team can play a lot better. Milwaukee, in some ways got a little bit lucky. That was a tremendous play by Drew Holiday to win the game there with about 10 seconds left. But I think Brooklyn's the best team in the league. I expect them to bounce back in game 4, and my guess is they'll be representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals.
The spin move was just delightful, and the finish was sublime and terrific. Can Milwaukee change it up and make this a different sort of game and still beat Brooklyn, or do they need to be in a quote-unquote rock fight to take down the Nets?
I think it has to be a rock fight for Milwaukee to win games in this series. Keep in mind, guys, Brooklyn had the best offensive rating in NBA history, and the remarkable thing about that is they played fewer than 10 games with their big three combined, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. So with just two of those guys in the lineup, or even at times just one of them in the lineup, they were good to set NBA offensive efficiency ratings, and that's why I think Milwaukee has to slow it down like last night. I think it has to be a physical game. They have to try to get under the skin of Kevin Durant in particular and rough him up. P.J. Tucker is trying. I mean, he's doing as well as anybody on Kevin Durant. It's obviously a tough task. But I think if it's a fast-paced offensive shootout in a pretty game, that Brooklyn will win, Milwaukee will lose, because Brooklyn has as much offensive talent as any team I've seen since the Warriors had the great run, as you guys know, from about 2014 to 2019.
Ryan, sports can in life can be so fickle, along with fans. And where I'm going is Giannis. 2 years ago, this was his league. He was going to be the next. And I'm talking about a guy last night that had 33 points. But there's just something I feel like is uncomfortable, and it's the shooting aspect of his game. Are you not I don't want to speak for you, but do I dare say I'm disappointed in the lack of growth in his game? What do you see when you watch Giannis play?
No, I think it would be a very fair criticism to be disappointed in the lack of growth in his game, especially the shooting, guys. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's really hard to win at the highest levels in the NBA if your best player can't make shots off the dribble and over the top of the defense. As you guys know, in your backyard there in the Bay, you have probably the best of all time at that, and Steph Curry. And I think what Giannis has to do is figure out what LeBron did. Guys, keep in mind, when LeBron was in Cleveland, he didn't shoot well from the outside. This is when he was with the Cavs the first time. He struggled with his perimeter shot. I was in the Celtics front office at that time. We ended up playing him just about every year in the playoffs. And, you know, we felt like if we could wall off the paint and make LeBron shoot over the top, then Boston would win. And that's what happened. And LeBron went to Miami. When he got to Miami, he did something in those first couple of years as far as overhauling his shooting, becoming a very improved three-point shooter, and then his game just took off and he was unguardable, and I think that was in the midst of a stretch of four MVPs in 5 years. So that's what Giannis has to do. That's the next evolution of his game, the next progression of his game. The shooting that Jeff Van Gundy made on the broadcast last night that I completely agree with. I think he's taking too long at the free throw line. You know, when guys are in their head, mentally, you got small sports, you can overthink it at times. With him dribbles, then taking 10 or more seconds of the line, I think he just needs to step up there, take a dribble or two, and shoot it quickly before he has time to think. So it's more of a reflex rather than his mind taking over with him overthinking the shot.
Talking NBA playoffs with Ryan McDonough, former Suns GM and Celtics executive here. He, of course, is the guy who drafted Devin Booker, which we'll get to. But, Ryan, one guy who obviously is making shots, Donovan Mitchell, perhaps becoming the breakout superstar of these playoffs. I know you tweeted about this. Why has Mitchell been unguardable against a Clippers team that usually they do a pretty good job guarding players on the perimeter?
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell's been phenomenal through the first couple games of this series. What really stood out to me last night, guys, in Game 2 was just the depth of those shots. I mean, he was hitting shots off the dribble and off the catch from well beyond the three-point line. I imagine some of those were in the 30-foot range. So it's really impressive what he's done. To answer your question, I don't know. That's what I was struggling with at halftime last night. When I looked at the Clippers roster, they have Kawhi Leonard, who's maybe the best perimeter defender in the league. That's a tougher matchup for Kawhi. Kawhi, I think, is better with bigger physical guys. Donovan Mitchell is physical, but he's only about 6'2". So having, you know, Kawhi chase Donovan around the pitch, the perimeter, is not something that Clippers head coach Ty Lue wants to do, although I think it's something he may have to do. But Paul George has had no answers for Donovan Mitchell. And then I think some of the rotations in the backcourt for the Clippers, a little bit confusing. Patrick Beverley was out of the rotation earlier in the playoffs. Now he is playing Rajon Rondo, who they brought in for the playoffs. I mean, that's why they call him Playoff Rondo. He was a DNP last night. So I think Ty Lue and his staff may need to go back to the drawing board and figure out what else they can do on Mitchell, because nothing's working. Although in the second half, guys, I thought the Clippers trapped. Aggressive. They were more physical with Mitchell. They got into the ball, and you saw the Clippers have a tremendous comeback. Second half, obviously they lost the game, but it looked like they found something with the aggressive trapping in the zone in the second half of last night's game.
How much pressure is on Denver, particularly the MVP and Jokic, in light of Michael Malone coming down on the team so firmly after game two?
Yeah, boy, that's a risky tactic by Mike Malone, who I think has done an excellent job. Excuse me, I'll call him Michael Malone. I don't want to get berated for calling him Mike.
Exactly.
Michael Malone, I thought that was a risky move. I mean, they did get drilled the first two games here in Phoenix. Game three is tonight. I'm sure it'll be an emotional night in Denver. I believe they're going to give Nikola Jokic the MVP trophy in front of the home fans at Ball Arena before game three. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I think the Nuggets are just outgunned, guys, especially in the backcourt. Jokic is tremendous. DeAndre Ayton has done a really good job playing him off to a stalemate through the first two games of this series. But as I look at the Nuggets backcourt, and this is through no fault of their own, it's just a lot of bad luck, in my opinion. To start the year, they had Jamal Murray and Gary Harris with their starters. They had Will Barton coming off the bench. They had DJ Dozier. And they also were developing a young guard, RJ Hampton, who was a first-round pick a year ago. Well, all five of those guys are either injured or gone. And so they're trying to make it work. But against a star-studded Suns backcourt, led by Chris Paul and Devin Booker, I just think the Suns have more perimeter talent. And that's why I wouldn't be surprised if Phoenix wins tonight to take a 3-0 series lead.
Ryan, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for your insight. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always great to be on. Nice guest.
That was Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Whitey in for Steiny today. Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. I know last night, first half, that Bucks-Nets game, Dan Dibley did pretty well. Speaking of wagers, legal wagers.
Yeah, it went according to form. You know, when you take Brooklyn plus 3.5 and they fall behind by 18 early, you tear up your proverbial ticket. But then you realize, okay, you're playing 24 minutes in the first half, and Brooklyn rights the ship, and that's a game, Goo, that Milwaukee probably should have won by 30. It should have been a laugher, but I don't think the Bucks are built that way to be able to blow teams out, and Ryan made a good point about the rock fight that Whitey talked about. That's going to have to be the ugly blueprint for them to win games.
No doubt, and you know, I asked him the question. I can't stop thinking about it, Whitey. He talked about your superstar has to be able to shoot, and I'm going Giannis. This is incredible. And thank God he didn't come to Golden State. And obviously he's not a bum, but there has been no growth. And I'm just you can't teach yourself looks. You know, God gives you that. Men and women, we know that. And we can have wants all day. LeBron would love to have a head full of hair. I'd switch with him. But where I'm going, Whitey, is how do we know he can just go in a lab, Giannis, and learn to shoot? I don't think you can get that component to your game. This is a big deal.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. In some ways, the game has changed. It's evolved away from Giannis's skill set. But it's also, it's funny you say that, Goo. I thought the same thing. I thought, I wonder if the Warriors are lucky they didn't end up with him. I wasn't going to say it. You went there. It's an interesting thought. But yeah, every year in the postseason, last 3 years, there comes a point at which the Bucks offensively, I know they're not out of this thing yet, but their offense, they just hit a wall. And it's like all of us, 3 years ago against Toronto, right? They were up 2-0. Last year against the Heat, and then we saw it last night. They figured out a way to win, but Giannis and they just, boom, all of a sudden they ceased to function at a high level.
And that's why I differ with Goo in that if he was with this Warrior team, the things that he does, the limitations that he has, they would be offset by what Steph and Klay can do, and to a lesser degree, Draymond Green. But the problem with Giannis is he doesn't have the same sort of elite three-point shooting. I mean, few teams do, to where, you know, if you had Giannis on this Warrior team, you could never double Giannis. And so he could go to work off the dribble and in that mid-post area a lot more easily. Whereas with Milwaukee, if Giannis gets into a dangerous spot, you send a second defender knowing that, okay, Middleton, go ahead, you go ahead and try and beat us, or your various Connaughtons or your Holidays. They're not the same, obviously, as Steph and Klay.
By the way, Jamie, what will you give me for Jamie from Progressive as Connaughton? Right? Same guy, I'm telling you. You
look solid 3.5.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy here. So I don't know, Goo. We'll see. One thing you notice watching last night's game, and I've never been in a rock fight like Dibs has literally been in a rock fight. I was in a pine cone fight once, and I put a quick end to that. I hit somebody in the head, and it's like, ow, we're done. I win the pine cone fight over Lake Merced, Dibs, across from the old Verducci Hall dorms, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, the smaller the pine cone, the harder it hits. That's
walking it off, we win.
Which apparently, shout out my good friend Ethan Newby, who was my best friend in kindergarten. He had a birthday a few days ago, so I did the Facebook thing.
And
You know, he's got to be my age, 52, maybe he's a year older, but you send him a message on the book, and he commented underneath it, yeah, remember my sixth birthday when you gave Tim Carlson a bloody nose? And I was like, man, I hadn't thought of that sucker punch in 40-something years. So, Tim, if you're listening, I apologize. I was running hot back in the mid-70s. I didn't mean to come at you like that.
Apology not accepted. Totally. Apology, my guess.
That's when you go way back.
Not accepted.
Who, tell me if you see this or not. And maybe, you know, this is unscientific. There's no analytics for it. But watching those two teams last night, ugly, ugly game. I know the Bucks got off to that great
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.